Well, before you take a seat, say hi to somebody, shake a hand or hug a neck. Make sure everybody feels very loved and accepted. Hey, Louie. Having a seat here, I'm going to ask, just real briefly, I've asked Louie to come. We started our life groups this last Wednesday. We're going through a book called Victory Over the Darkness. How many were able to be there on last Wednesday? And you're definitely coming back this Wednesday. Yeah, we had a great time. It was really good. And so some of you, I know, you're sitting out there maybe still going, I don't know, I'm busy. Or maybe you're not even thinking about it, but we'd like you to, because we really believe that God is going to use this in all of our lives. So I asked Louie just to share for a couple of minutes real quick about some of the things that he's even already sort of being challenged by and excited about. It should be.
Hello. Oh, hey, everyone. I'm Louie. Hello. I am helping to facilitate one of the men's small groups with Nick here, and we had a great conversation this past Wednesday. And so this book, the subtitle is called Realizing the Power of Your Identity in Christ. And so I think identity formation is a process that we go through continuously. And for me, I think in high school, I really resonated with Cecilia's two-minute testimony. This was a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how God's been telling her to give up oboe as her identity. I played the violin growing up, and that was really where my identity lied. And it was difficult to let that go, and then other things for me going into college was became a Christian in college, and so that also added a new dynamic to like who am I now? I'm a Christian. In college, I wrestled with my ethnic identity. What does it mean to be Chinese? What does it mean to be American? I have a lot of relatives in China, so when I visit them, that was a process that I still am going through. And so identity formation takes place within us, but also within community. So this is a reason why we're doing this in small group and not just having you guys read the book and, you know, just by yourself. And so this is a process that continues. And I recently graduated from college about 2 years ago and started working. And then my identity as a son to my parents is also different now because I'm no longer their dependent. And so that is like your identity continues to build, and I know that many of us are going through either college or graduate school or recently out of college and working. And I know some people, I know Andrea and Jesse, they're gonna have a child, so like they're gonna be parents soon, mothers, and so identity is something that we keep building on. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus, you know, he says, "Abide in me," right, and have the life in me. And there's off, and then you know something I noticed very early on reading the intro in chapter one is this, what does it mean to be in Christ, right? So this is something that we already started talking about in our small group, and I encourage you guys to come out as our formation as Christians is an ongoing process as well, so it never really stops.
Amen. Awesome. Thanks. So, if you haven't got a copy of the book, we've got some you can grab after the service. And yeah, if there's any way you can be a part of it, we just encourage you. We really know that it will be something God will use. Two other things I want to mention real quickly before we jump into where we're going tonight. Baptism, we're having a baptism service this Saturday. And so if you have not been baptized, we want to encourage you. This is an amazing step to take. Now, I was saying it's so funny because this happens a lot, at least in the Western world, that people come to know Christ, and then somewhere down the road, they get baptized. And sometimes we make them do, like, you have to do a baptism class and all that stuff. When we read Scripture, they got saved and they were baptized. I mean, it was like, you know, there was really no process. It was just, this was a natural outward demonstration of what has already taken place inside. Christ has already transformed you from the inside, forgiven you for your sins, and it's the same picture that you go to be dead in your sins and rise up alive in Christ, what we've been talking about. So if you have not been baptized and you would like to, you still can be a part of it. I think we've got four or five that are getting baptized that we know of. But if you're sitting out there and you go, you know, this is a step I really know I need to take. Maybe you even got baptized or christened as a little child. And you go, well, now I'm an adult. And so I understand I'm making the decision on my own. then this is a great step to take. So I would encourage you, you can talk to me right after service today. We're going to meet for about 10 or 15 minutes just to touch base. So if you're even like, maybe you're thinking about it and you're wondering, then plan to come and stick around. Well, I don't know where we're going to meet. We'll say we're going to meet in that back corner over there right after service. So come and be a part of that. And there was one other thing I was supposed to be mentioning. I've got it on my notes. Oh, yes, I wanted to introduce someone that has just taken on an area of ministry that we feel is very significant. It's the greeter ministry. How many of you had somebody greet you when you walked in the door today? Hopefully all of you. And so we know that that's kind of a really important thing, because especially when you come the first time, you make a lot of your first impressions about the church on the people that you encounter as you walk in. And so we've had many people that have done it over the time and done a great job, but we've just have a new young lady that's doing it. Wanted to introduce her. This is Mishi. However, but this is her. And so, yes, we're thankful for her. If you've met her, she really exudes joy and excitement. And so we're looking for some more people that would like to be a part of that. And really, it's just asking that you'd be a part maybe at least once a month. So if you would, again, raise your hand. That's her. Go over and say, yes, I would. Or you can put it on your connection card when you fill that out and put it in there. Yeah, I'd like to know more about being a part of the greeters ministry. Well, we've had spent the last couple weeks talking about transformation and being a new creation. Today, we're going to step into a new part of that, is transformation and having a new self. I call it getting dressed God's way. Just to have a quick review, is this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is really the foundation for the whole series, but it was the foundation of the last few weeks, is therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We spent quite a bit of time talking about metamorphosis and the caterpillar becoming the butterfly, and what happens in there. And what I want us to know and understand is that when we come to Christ, this is what he does. He transforms you. It's important that we keep in mind that, yes, there is the ongoing process of transformation that we like to call sanctification. Yes, becoming more like Christ. That happens. But when we go from being dead in sins to alive in Christ, that happens in an instant, and it's only something that God can do through Christ. So it's important that we get that. So we've been talking about that. And because we're a new creation in Christ, then guess what? We also get a new self. Isn't that cool? I mean, you get a new self. Now, we all have on clothes, thank the good Lord, because we don't really want anybody running around without clothes on. But did you know that it really does matter if you wear the right clothes? I mean, anybody that's ever been in middle school or high school, probably even college, knows that if you're not wearing the right clothes, you kind of easily get, you know, outcast. You become, you know, the person everybody looks at and talks about. I understand that because, as you can tell, I'm not short, but I was average height until I was in ninth grade. And in a period of a year, I grew 8 inches. So my pants were like, they were like this for like a long time. And my family at the time didn't have a lot of money, and I just had to wear whatever I had. And let me tell you what, that is not the right clothes, man. I mean, there wasn't even such a thing as capris, and we know those are for women, but they didn't even exist for women back when I was in high school. So it really does make a difference about what you wear. Now we look and say, okay, well, we get that. Culturally, you know, wherever you're at, yeah, dress has an impact. But did you know that God actually cares about what you wear? You're like, wait a minute, God doesn't care about the out. In fact, he called Samuel on the carpet because Samuel thought the next king was going to be the big guy because he looked like the king Saul. And God said, no, you look at the outward appearance, I look at the heart. Well, that is really part of what I'm talking about. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to see that God does actually care about what you wear. Ephesians chapter 4. As you're turning there, we're going to start and read in verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, there are some there on the table. Ephesians chapter 4. If anybody gets there in one of those, tell me what page and I'll help you out. 897. So if you're looking at one of the books, Bibles on the table, it should be page 897 or thereabouts. Ephesians chapter 4, and looking at verse 17, Paul writes, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So here's the deal. God wants us to get rid of our old clothes, our old self, and put on new clothes, our new self. So I'm going to ask you for just a few minutes around your tables to talk about something related to this. I want you to talk about what does it mean, or actually better than that, what is our old self? Because how many of you know, unless you know what it is, you're really hard to put it off. And then what is our new self? Because again, if we don't know what that is, it's kind of hard to put it on. So I want you to talk about that, and we'll come back in just a few minutes, and I'll hear a little bit from you guys. And I'm going to ask, hey, Kayla, why don't, and Natasha. Yes, oh, Natasha, right. Yes, why don't you guys come over here and join these guys here so you're not sitting there by yourselves. And I like to put you, you guys can go to other tables if you want to. I mean, you guys all know each other. Like, you know, go mix it up. I mean, you know, Jesse and Aaron can stay together. They're married, but, you know, Jeremy, come on, man. Your wife isn't here, so you got to, like, mix it up. Mix it up. Okay, so, yeah, we're going to spend a few minutes. What is the old self and what's the new self? Somebody write some things down because I am going to come and ask you. Whoa. Okay, I would love to give you more time because I know you could talk longer about this, but just so that we can get into part of the message, and I want to get some of your input, so I'm just going to ask you to holler out, you know, so some of, what was some of the things were said? What is the old self?
Inferiority,
okay.
Denial of God's will.
Is that?
Materialism.
A lack of choice.
Busyness.
Sinner.
Fear of man.
Prideful. Okay. Couple.
Lack of awareness of God's presence.
Good. One or two more.
Seeking worldly acceptance,
okay.
Playing victim.
Okay, now what is the new self?
Confidence.
Just confidence or, okay. I guess I was thinking confidence in Christ, but. Yes, that's right, Yes, it is. Okay, confidence, good. Anyone else? What's that? Content, okay.
Humble.
Eternal perspective.
Forgiving.
Righteous.
Selfless.
Trusting
the power above.
Faithful. Oh, peaceful. Led by the Spirit, okay. One more.
Desiring righteousness.
Now you hear, now because we're going to talk about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. So, I mean, you guys have really made this a pretty big deal. So, but it's okay because so does God. But here's the deal. This, I don't know about you, but at times I get, I struggle between the reality of things in my life and the things that God says, that I don't always see them being a reality. I can read the Bible. In fact, I was sharing this the other night. We're on Friday nights with On the Red Box. We're working on our two-minute testimony that Cecilia shared hers a couple weeks ago, and I was writing mine, and as I shared it, I think for people in the room, it became even more of an awareness why this is so significant to me, because this changed my life. This verse right here changed my life. And by the way, I had been a believer for a long time. But it was when I actually began to believe that God said I was a new creation. And I obviously had to pray and say, Lord, help me to believe that, because I don't really believe that. And I don't really like what I see. When I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. And God, by His Spirit, transformed me. He transformed my thinking, He transformed my life, and I have never been the same. So for me, this is more than just a nice message. It's more than just what the Bible says. It is what I've lived. And I think what's important is that God wants His Word to become reality. That's what it says, that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. What's revelation? It's to know something we don't know before, and that we can only know it by the power of God, the Spirit of God. See, the Bible is not a bad book. We were out Friday night, and Don and I had a chance to talk to this young guy. We had a great conversation with him. But his whole thing was that the Bible is a great work of literature. He was raised in a Christian home. And it is a great work of literature. There's no question. But understand, as a work of literature, it has no transforming ability at all. Why it's transforming is because it's a living, breathing Word of God. And the only way we can understand that is by the power of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said was sent to be the revealer of truth. So as we're talking about stuff, a lot of times I struggle with that. I don't know if you struggle with that, but I struggle with that. I go, yeah, I know this should be true. In fact, I know this is true. I believe it's true, but I don't see it in my life. And so even if we're talking about some of those things, and you're probably saying, well, okay, I get it. This is what the new self looks like. But man, I don't know. If I look at myself, is that what I'm wearing? Is that what's real? But this is, amen. Already, she's giving it to Dad. Thanks. Amen. God wants it to be reality. But the only way that it can is by revelation through God's Spirit. So as we're reading these things, if we're just trying to understand them intellectually, they won't mean a lot. Again, you might cognitively go, that's a good idea. I like that. That sounds really good. In fact, I can read the Bible and go and deduce these are the things that should be the old self and these should be the new self. But it won't change me. What will change me, what will change you, is the Spirit of God taking those things and making them alive in me. And this is the practicality of God's Word. See, God is not a theoretical God. He is a pragmatist. I mean, God spoke and what? The world happened. He made Adam out of dirt and he breathed life and he became a human being. God, when he speaks, things happen. You know, it used to be, I don't know if any of you remember, most of you are too young to ever remember the commercial E.F. Hutton, you know, when he speaks, everybody listens. Well, guess what? When God speaks, everything changes. I always say when God shows up, everybody else shuts up because, you know, I don't care how big you think you are. All of a sudden, somebody a whole lot bigger than you just walked in a room. And this is what we're talking about, is God wants this to be real. And if there's places in our life where it's not real, and believe me, there are places even in my life, even though I've been a pastor for a long time, I've been a believer for a long time, where there's a disconnect. And I'm having to say, God, open my eyes, open my heart. Help me to see the way you see. Because just because I know the right answer doesn't mean it's real. I mean, I'm fairly good at math, and so I can do a lot of math in my head. And so even when I got into algebra, I could do fairly substantial equations in my head. And so when I'd be taking a test, I'd just write the answer. But you know what? My teacher was never impressed by that. They said, well, how did you get there? Well, I'd say, is it right? It doesn't matter if it's right. I'm like, what? You'd rather make show how I got it there and be it wrong? Well, no. And see, this is the same thing. Just because you know the right answer doesn't mean it's changed our life. And God is not okay with you just understanding it here. He's not. God wants it here and here so that it comes out here. And so when we look at places in our life where we read what it says in the Bible and we go, I don't get it, because I did that for so many years of my life. God, how come you seem to like everybody better than you like me? Because if you liked me, then I'd look different. I'd be different. Why am I, as a part of my testimony, why am I a skinny four-eyed nerd? And see, I even said, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and guess what? The picture looked the same. I looked in the mirror, I was still a skinny four-eyed nerd. I'd read what the Bible said, and I go, oh yeah, sure, that's true for somebody, but it's not true for me. Now see, it was true, but something had to become reality in my spirit. So understand, if there's things that you get intellectually, but it hasn't changed your life, keep asking. Because that's what Jesus said. When you ask, it will be given. And most of you know that is in a tense that says you keep on asking. It's in perfect tense. You keep on asking, you keep on asking, you keep on asking. Our 3-year-old son, when he wants something, he does not ask once, he does not ask twice, and he doesn't stop until we either tell him, okay, you need to stop, or there will be consequences, or he gets what he wants. And that's a really good picture of how God calls us to ask. If there's things that are truly important, who you are in Christ, what Louis was talking about, what we're dealing with here on Sundays, what we're dealing with on Wednesdays, if that's really important, then you keep on asking. And you keep on saying, God, open my eyes. God, open my heart. God, help me to see, help me to hear, because I'm not seeing and I'm not hearing the way you want me to, because somewhere it's disconnecting. And I'll tell you this, it's never on God's end. Never on God's end. Because God's heart is like this. He wants you to understand what it means that you're his son and you're his daughter. He wants you to understand what it means that you're now in Christ, your new creation, the old has passed. He wants you to understand that, yes, you can, in fact, put off the old self and put on the new self. These are not theories, they're realities. And so as we talk about this, this is why it gets into some real practical stuff. But understand, you can't even do the practical stuff apart from the power of God. Amen. Because if we are, then it's just a work of my flesh. And Paul makes it really clear that if you sow in the flesh, in other words, if you do something in the flesh, guess what? You're going to reap the flesh. I mean, if you put wheat in the ground, you're going to get wheat. You put corn in the ground, you're going to get corn. It says, but if you sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is just that. When the Holy Spirit controls our life, then the fruit will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. So as we're talking about this, understand that it's practical because God is literally telling you to put something off and literally telling you to put something on. But it has to be through the understanding that His Spirit brings revelation. I'm just going to make a couple of quick points and we're going to finish this part for today. I knew going in that this message was going to go towards next week. But I want, in John chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to tell real quick the story. The story is one that most of us are familiar with. It's Jesus' friend Lazarus who has died. If you know the story, it says that people come to Jesus and say, your good friend, your buddy, Lazarus, is sick unto death. And it says Jesus then hung around where he was for a few more days. Now, I know we all look at that and you go, okay, if my friend did that, I mean, we're not even talking that they're Jesus. We're just talking they're our friend. You'd kind of go, well, that doesn't really look like what a friend would do. But see, he understood. And so what happens? Jesus comes up and Mary and Martha, the sisters, are crying, Lord, if you'd been here, da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus said, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we get it. In the end of the days, okay, we get it. He says, no, no, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he says, roll back the stone. Lazarus has been dead for a long time. His body was already decomposing. He was in a human cave wrapped in just cloth. So understand that, yeah, decomposition was already going on. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. And what's the very first thing that Jesus says? Take off the grave clothes. Because again, I mean, they wrapped people in cloth so they were like a mummy. So I always say, you know, he's coming out like this, you know. You know, he was still wrapped up, you know. He's like, oh, I'm alive, I'm alive. But he didn't really look much alive, did he? Because he still looked like he was dead. And the first thing Jesus says is get rid of the grave clothes. Get rid of that which is reminders of what was dead so that he can be alive. I mean, how stupid would it have been? He's rolling around town. I'm alive! I'm alive! You know, I mean, people go, what? But yet, this is what it's talking about. When we are walking around, redeemed, new creation, still in our old self, just hanging on, we're walking around just like Lazarus if he was still in the grave clothes. And we shared just a few things that could be representative of our old self. And I don't know about you, but some of those hit me right here. There's still some of my old self that's hanging on, even though I'm not that person anymore. I'm going to close today just reading these verses out of Romans chapter 6. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were just talking about that. You're baptized into death, resurrected into life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Saying, because we were died with him, putting to death sin and being raised alive in Christ, sin no longer has a hold on us. And now, I mean, who in here would say, man, I haven't sinned, you know, ever since I... Well, no, we would say we still struggle with sin. But we've talked about this before. It's one of the things in the book we're dealing with on Wednesday nights. He says, by definition, we're not sinners anymore. Many of us, if not most of us as believers, we would still define ourselves as sinners. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner, you were saved by grace, and now by definition you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. It says when you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old's gone. There's something there that God wants us to get, to grab a hold of, because a sinner does what? Sins. A saint, we still struggle with sin, but guess what? We can choose not to sin. He says, before we were slaves to sin, now we're slaves to righteousness. Because of what Christ has done, you and I can get dressed differently than we could before. It's that picture. I don't know if we have it. Can you pull up the picture of the butterfly that's in the chrysalis where it's transparent? Is that possible? No? Say, maybe if I would have told you before. Well, I don't know if you were here, but we were walking through all the stages of how the caterpillar becomes a chrysalis. And in the chrysalis, the caterpillar is broken down. Every cell, everything, it becomes this, you know, just fluid mess inside there. And then it's completely recreated into a brand new creation. But here's the deal. That when you look at it, the chrysalis over time becomes transparent, and you can see the butterfly inside. The new creation is there. It's there. You can see it. But guess what? It's still in bondage to the very thing that it was used to bring transformation. It has to break free. The butterfly has to struggle. And they said that without the struggle, the butterfly wouldn't be able to fly. Because now imagine, I mean, look at the size of the caterpillar and look at the size of the butterfly, and it's cramped up in that little chrysalis. It's all there, but the wings have never flown. They have never spread. And it says even as it begins to struggle to break out of the chrysalis, blood begins to pump into the wings, because what happens when you start getting worked up? What happens? Your blood starts flowing more rapidly through your body, right? We call it adrenaline. I don't know if butterflies have adrenaline or not, but what happens is the blood begins to course through the body into the wings. So the minute it breaks out of the chrysalis, the wings open up and it can fly. But if you came along and I came along, we see it in there, we go, hey, let's get that thing out of there. We just open up the chrysalis, it would drop to the ground and it would never fly. Understand, this is part of the process. We have been made a new creation. Done. You and I didn't have anything to do with that. It was done because of what Christ did. But some of it we go, well, why is there a struggle in the Christian life? Why does James say, count it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, for the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature, complete, lacking nothing. It's the same thing. We have to break free of the things that are the residue of what was old. This is part of the putting off to put on. I mean, imagine if the butterfly just stayed in a chrysalis. You know, it's kind of comfy in here. I mean, I don't know what that transformation process was like, but that was probably pretty tiring. I think I'm just going to hang out in here. Forget that going out there and flying thing. What would happen? It would die. And it would never be what it was created to be. I want us to hear today that many of us do not become the very thing that God created us to be because we don't get rid of the grave clothes, the old self, the things that are the residue of what was but are no longer. Without us walking down that road, we'll never be all that God called us to be. Next week, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. We're going to talk specifically. Ephesians 4, 25 to 32 talks very specifically about things we're to put off and things that we're to put on. See, I love the fact that God doesn't, most things that God wants us to actually live out in our life, He doesn't make them very blurry. He makes them very clear. A lot of times we don't like what they say, but He makes it very clear. And that's even the language that He uses. Put off lying. Put on truth. That's the first one we're going to talk about next week. What is a lie? You can be thinking about this week. And where in your life are you walking? Have you put on lying? You go, it's just a little white lie. Oh, really? Is there such a thing as a little lie? No, kind of by definition, a lie is a lie is a lie. An exaggeration. I was just, you know, exaggerating the truth a little bit. Oh, well, what's that? A lie. God cares about those things in our life because He wants us, like the butterfly, to be able to be everything that He's called us to be so that everyone around us will be impacted by the very person that God has transformed. A lot of what compels me today in my life, before I was a pastor, as a pastor, it's why the greeter ministry is actually really important to me, is because I don't want anyone to ever feel what I felt. I don't want anyone to ever feel they don't belong, they're not significant, they're not valued. But here's the big deal. This is part of what the Wednesday night thing is that we understand our security, our significance, our value, our acceptance has to come from Christ. If it comes from people, we're going to be jacked up because sometimes they'll get it right and sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll treat us well and sometimes they won't. I can honestly say right now where I stand that 95% of the time in my life, I honestly don't care what people think about me. And I'm not saying that in any kind of arrogance. It's just my identity's not wrapped up in that anymore. I don't need people to like me. Now, there's still at least 5%, maybe 10% of me that still has those struggles. So get it. I mean, I'm still in process. And in other places, it's 95% that needs, you know, Jesus. But in that specific area, because I began to understand whether people like me, it has no bearing on who I am. So what are those things that God says about you? Because if we don't believe those things are true, then the rest of this conversation is not going to be heard right. If we don't believe that we're a new creation because of what Christ did. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? And as we finish today... Man, there's something just stirring in me. And I believe that there is something probably stirring in some of our hearts here. As we're even in His presence, as we're saying, Lord, set a fire in me that I can't contain, I can't control. What does that look like? That I want to be everything that You call me to be. And yet there may well be someone here today, maybe several people, that you hear this language and you go, I don't even know what that means. What does it mean I'm a new creation? What does it even mean that I'm in Christ? What does it even mean that I could have Jesus in my life? The most important decision that you and I will ever make is what we do with Jesus Christ. Do we believe that he was the Son of God? Do we believe that he died on the cross for our sins? Do we believe that if I don't have him and accept him into my heart and confess my sins before him, that I'll be separated from him for all eternity? That's the most important question that we can ever ask and answer. And so I want to ask that today, that if you have not ever acknowledged what Christ has done for you, you've never repented of your sins, asking Jesus Christ, who already paid the price for your sins, but we have to willingly ask him to forgive us, to redeem us. Is there anyone that would raise their hand today and say, you know what, Chris, that's me. I want to acknowledge Jesus today. I want to know forgiveness for my sins. I want to invite him into my heart. I want to know that I will spend eternity with him. Eternity starts in this moment when we ask Christ to come into our heart. That's where eternity begins. It's not one day when we leave this life and go to the next. It starts now. Would there be anybody today that would say, yes, that's me. I want to make that commitment. I want to make that decision. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? You can put your hands down. Well, I want to invite us to say a prayer, and that we'll say it and repeat it with these. Whether they're committing their life to Christ for the first time or recommitting their life, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're out there, maybe you wanted to raise your hand and you didn't. Well, that's okay. Just be a part of it, man. God knows our heart. And that's the most important thing, is what goes on in our heart, because that's where he sees it. So would you join with them as they pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Forgive me for my sins. I choose to repent, to turn and walk the other way. Come into my life. Fill me with your Spirit, that I'll no longer live to serve myself, but to serve you and to love others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you. If the ushers could prepare to take the offering, that would be great.